for those guys, really, 2.5 rookies, however you want to categorize Broderick, young lineman, especially the new center on a road against a veteran defense. We wanted to control the line of scrimmage. It was a little blunt force trauma, made it ugly. It was pretty at times, depending on your perspective. And I thought as the game wore on, I mean, we were able to possess the ball, I think, 36 minutes, the lead 11 in the fourth quarter. You know, the one thing that, you know, I wish we had handled that long drive we had, we really could have gone for the kill shot there, and credit to them. You know, they out-executed us on 3rd and 2 and 4th and 1, but that took a lot of clock, and we were rolling them off the ball. You know, as a coach, maybe I'm sick in the head, but that was beautiful to me.
Oh, it was beautiful. How about 59%, I want to say, of the time? Two tight ends on the field, 17 plays with more than two tight ends on the field. Steelers have said they want to run the ball with purpose in each of the last few seasons, and really it only materialized late in each of the last few seasons. I was really encouraged by what I saw from the offensive line and from a scheme standpoint in game number one against Atlanta. And joining us now to get into all of that is Chris Carter. He joins us every Friday at 8 o'clock. He, of course, from the Post-Gazette, covers the Steelers and also the Pitt Panthers, so we will get his thoughts on the backyard brawl as well. He's on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Good morning to you, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Oh, we are excellent. There's not enough show to talk about all the football that we are going to witness this weekend. And, Chris, we are going to start with that offensive line for the Steelers. Dan Moore Jr. back at practice yesterday, and it sounds like Broderick Jones going to go to the bench. Your thoughts on that, my friend?
Look, guys, I think that this is a very interesting point to be made right now, because back in training camp, when Troy Faltano got hurt, we saw multiple people say, hey, the Steelers feel like Troy Faltano is their second-best lineman behind Isaac Seumalo. And if after basically 1 week of recovering in the regular season, he gets a starting spot over Broderick Jones, I would confirm that they feel that way. Now, here's the thing. Dan Moore Jr. has played really well. Like, that's the fact that I think a lot of Steelers fans are probably scratching their heads about, like, wait a minute, you finally got a chance to start Faltano and Jones, why aren't you doing it? And I think it's because Dan Moore Jr. has played very well. Now, granted, we all know that PFF and their grades are weird. They don't do things very objectively, but even they ranked him as one of the better pass-blocking offensive tackles last week, when I looked at the tape, I didn't even need their grades. I'm like, this guy's playing well. Now, that may all change. It may become inconsistent. But this was why they weren't rushing to get rid of him in training camp, because Dan Moore was playing well. He's a fourth-year veteran, and that's given him time to mold his game. And I think that you're seeing the results of that. And Broderick Jones, I thought last week he did better than we saw him in the preseason, but I still think he has room to polish his game. And that was part of why he was in the first round was, hey, the potential's there, but the rawness was too. And I think that's where the Steelers are still looking like, hey, Broderick Jones still got a way to go, but they still believe that he's the future. And I even think that you'll still see the two of them at offensive tackle later this season. But right now, Dan Moore Jr. is one of your best players on the offensive line, and Troy Faltano might be better suited to play right tackle right now.
Chris, do you know what time it is?
What time?
It's time to get to Tom Fridays for juicy steaks, meats, and more. All right, Chris, I agree with just about everything you said there. I saw the same thing. I thought Dan Moore Jr. played really well last week. I think from everything I've heard, read, and saw in the preseason, Dan Moore Jr. did a solid job. My big concern is they've played Broderick Jones at the position he would rather not play, and now they're going to be benching him. I worry about what that might do to a young player's psyche who's still trying to develop.
I agree. That's something that could get in the way. But here's where I think the Steelers should be like, look, Broderick, it's obvious we believe in you. We put a first-round pick on you. But he needs to be tougher to be able to accept this and be able to say, hey, you know what, doesn't matter, I'll be ready when my time is called at left tackle. I think that the Steelers need to, if they see that mental toughness from Broderick Jones, that'll go a long way in his career. I mean, for example, look at the mental toughness of Dan Moore Jr. People have talked so bad about that man. I mean, and he's gotten beaten a lot. Like, you know, he could have gone into a shell, not improved as much, and not be a starter today, and it would have been easy for either one of these guys to take the starting job off him. But he stood in there. He stayed tough, and he's kept improving. I think it's stuff like that that the Steelers want to see out of their guys in these situations. It'd be one thing if Broderick Jones was dominant right now, but he hasn't been dominant. He needs to get better. I think part of it's also his elbow still bothering him, and maybe this will give him time to heal his elbow. But I think this is the thing about the Steelers now. They don't have time to worry about people's egos right now. They need people to understand, hey, we're starting the best guys. If you're not playing like one of the best guys, we got to take you out, and you'll get your shot when that time comes again. But I think, like, for example, I think that was the message they were trying to send Kenny Pickett when they signed Russell Wilson. And Kenny Pickett's like, you know what, I don't want to be around to be number two anymore. And so they sent him somewhere else. They brought in Justin Fields. But I think Broderick Jones, he's in a position where I think he can either accept this and be like, hey, I need to get better. I need to be sharper and prove that I'm a starter. And then if he does that, we'll go from there. We'll see how he does. I think he'll get there. But I think that's the message the Steelers are sending right now.
We're joined by Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Going to get into the backyard brawl with Chris. He does such a wonderful job covering the Pitt athletic programs. Chris, before we do get to that, Arthur Smith yesterday, I thought, had a great answer to why they did not throw the ball one time into the middle of the field in game one against Atlanta. And it was, hey, they got game-wrecking safeties. We're not going to invite disaster. And I'm paraphrasing there. Do you buy that? Or do you think this is a continuation of a Mike Tomlin philosophy we've seen the last few years, which is to say they just don't believe in their quarterbacks putting the ball into all that traffic?
Adam, I buy it because I went into the game and I was doing my pregame talks. So I'm like, that's what you should not throw to the middle this week, because they got Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates. Stick to the sidelines, keep the read simple, and let Justin Fields work those. And that's what they did. Now, granted, this week, I think the opposite should happen. And that'll tell the real answer to your question.
Yeah.
Because, again, we can believe what he says. We can think what we want to think. But the results are what's going to determine the future, to see who was right and who was wrong there. But if the Steelers are still targeting the sidelines this week when the best corner in the football, Pat Surtain, is patrolling those sidelines, that'll say, okay, no, that was the game. That is just what you guys are doing. You're just not targeting the middle part of the field. But personally, Adam, I think this week it's Pat Freiermuth time.
Yep.
Get him involved. Let George Pickens take Pat Surtain off to the sidelines. Let them duel it out. And you'll throw it a couple times over there, maybe even like five or six times over there. But you're going to throw it in situations where you're comfortable with Justin Fields. Hey, take this shot at this time, but protect the football. And you know what? The better matchups are going to come against this linebacker group, against the safety group, P.J. Locke and those guys. I'd rather you get that matchup than George Pickens, who I do think can go toe-to-toe with Pat Surtain, but I think that's not the better matchup that you have on the offense. And listen, the Steelers, I know there's something about this saying, oh, they're living in their fears by not going after this part of it. Listen, the Steelers, when Mike Tomlin said we don't live in our fears, it was because the strength of their team at the time was the offense. So they were being aggressive because the offense was the strength of their team. Right now, the strength of their team is their defense. So they're going to play into that by saying, hey, offense, protect the ball. The defense will be the aggressive ones right now. I think it's a sound move. I think it was really what happened. And I think that if they keep to the sidelines this week and it doesn't go well, then they'll have some things to answer for next week.
Chris Carter joining us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Chris, you broke the Heather Like story, and kudos to you. Stick taps to you. You are tapped into this program unlike really anybody else. But the focus now on the backyard brawl, your thoughts on the game as we approach, oh, well, here comes my math, like 30 hours until kickoff. Chris, what do you think?
I look at this West Virginia team, and I see they're still going to be running the ball on you. This is going to be a physical game. Pat Narduzzi knows that. And I asked him that. That was like my first question yesterday when we talked to Pat Narduzzi, Adam. I asked him, I was like, hey, last 2 years, C.J. Donaldson has gotten over 100 yards on you each game. Granted, you won the first one, but you lost the second one. How do you stop that from happening this time around? And he was like, well, you just stop the run. I'm like, thanks, Pat. But like, you cleared that one up. I really have it for you. But, But one thing that he said, and I wrote about it in yesterday's Post-Gazette, or yesterday afternoon, I think that they're going to try to use this offense to mitigate other teams' rushing offenses so that they can allow their defense to get into pass rush mode a lot faster in games. And a part of that is because they believe in Eli Holstein. They believe in Desmond Reed, who right now leads all players in college football in all-purpose yardage, and he is truly a weapon with the way that he's the first-ever Pitt player to have 100 yards rushing and 100 yards receiving in a single game last week. And I think their answer to this is they're going to play fast, they're going to try to score fast, and they're going to force West Virginia to have to speed up their game so that they can't run the ball as much. And I think that's where it might come down to. Can West Virginia slow down this offense? Can they force them to throw more incompletions? Can they do what Cincinnati did in the first half last week, which really was dropping a lot of people into coverage and confusing the young Eli Holstein. But eventually, Holstein figured it out last week. So you've got to switch it up. You can't do the same thing all game. But that's where I think the crux of this game is. Can West Virginia slow down Eli Holstein? Because if they do, that allows C.J. Donaldson to take over. That allows them to be more aggressive with their style of ball, and they'll dictate the style of play.
Chris, I'm so excited for this one, man. I mean, it makes me nervous. It always does. I think both fan bases feel the same way. It could be the best day of the year on the football calendar. It can also be the worst. And I do agree with everything you said. Styles make the fight. Pitt wants to go fast, fast, fast. West Virginia put up a lot of points last season, but they also did it at their own pace, methodically. And I think that's a fascinating battle between two teams with different quarterbacks and different running backs this year. When you think about it, Garrett Green only played a few snaps last year before he got hurt. Jaheim White, who broke onto the scene in the second half of the season for West Virginia, didn't play. And then you got Desmond Reed, you got Eli Holstein. I can't wait, man. And I will see you in the press box tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep up the great work, Chris.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me, as always.
Oh, my man. Thank you for coming on.